Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning after the storms rolled through in the middle of the night. Hope everybody came out okay after all that lightning and everything. But welcome to the show, folks. Our sponsor today is the Belleville Meat Market. And I'm Captain Mickey, and producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jake. All right, weather in Galveston right now. It's 59 down on the island. And today they're calling for areas of patchy fog early, partly cloudy, high 73. Those winds will be picking up out of the northwest at about 10 to 20 miles per hour today. Tonight, clear skies, low near 60. Winds will be north 15 to 25. And then for tomorrow, you know, maybe a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny all day, high around 70, north-northeast winds 10 to 20. So clear it out of here. A lot of rain we received. But it's over. Better days ahead. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at 2:16 a.m. It was a 1.2. We have a low coming up at 9:57 a.m. It's an 0.1. And then a high at 5:05 p.m., a 1.1. And then a low tonight at 10 p.m., an 0.9. 7:20 a.m. is sunrise. Sunset will be 7:32 p.m., and our moon phase is 89%. Looking at current conditions, right now the Galveston Channel down there, it's 61 degrees with 68 degree water. North winds 10 to 14. And at Eagle Point, it's 64 degrees with 65 degree water. North winds 5 to 6. Morgan's Point, it is 60 degrees with 66 degree water. North-northwest winds 7 to 8 miles per hour. So, got a beautiful day ahead of us. Got all the rain out of the way, and north winds kicking in. High pressure coming with it, and clear skies. We'll take it. All right, let's run over to the Tri-Bay area and check in with a hammer this morning, Captain Glenn, and see what he's up to. Good morning, Mr. Hammer.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How's it going for you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good deal. Good.
Not a lot of sleep last night with a freaking out dog with lightning in the area, but hey, I'm here, man.
It's it went right around us. We went right to the north of us, up on the other side of Lake Jackson.
That little tail at the bottom didn't get you? It looked like it swept through there. Looked like it got Galveston too.
We got some yesterday morning. We had about a half inch, 3/4 inch, I guess. Yeah. Through the day, and lots of wind, whole bunch of wind, buddy.
Boy, pumped some water in too at east wind yesterday. It pushed the water into my bay area. It's bulled up this morning when I came in. It was high.
Late yesterday afternoon, it was it was pushing in pretty good, man. There was a lot of water in the bay, the east, northeast, whatever.
Yeah.
It's blowing right down the pipe this morning, too. I'm not getting a reading on my, it's low. I think it's 4 to 6 miles an hour is what my telephone was telling me.
Yeah.
But we're getting some wind, but it's coming out of the northeast anyway, right? North, due north or northeast, a little bit east, but let's see. Monday, another front blew through, 25 miles an hour plus, and I was afraid. I had to go check on my little tomato plants. Everything's bloomed out right now. I've got little cherry tomatoes already on the vine, and all my bigger, the bigger tomatoes are got all bloomed out, and I got them on a protected side of the beach cabin, in big old pots. Everything's in pots and up off the ground, just in case of the high tides. But anyway, garden's looking pretty good already, and I know that little rain we got yesterday helped it out. So, but Wednesday we got to go out. Melinda and I went for a boat ride. And the water condition, it was sandy. We had missed the outgoing tide, and the tide had already turned around and started coming in. And I found it really hard to get them to bite. I caught two little old dinks, you know, soft plastics. Well, one of them was probably 17 inches. I let them go, and we just piddled, and on the way back, we stopped at one more spot. I was determined. And I got a 22-inch red on about the third cast, so I brought it home. No, I didn't release it. I have been releasing all my fish, but this one was going home with me. We hadn't had a good old red fish in a while. Everything's, you know, kind of calmed down this morning. I don't know how long that's going to last. I know they're predicting some more rain coming in Monday, but, man, it's... It's slow fishing. When I was out on Wednesday, I talked to two or three different kayakers that I see out there regularly, and they had caught some small fish. That's what everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
Either small reds or small trout or whatever. But as I got on, I said, well, what is the water temperature? And the guy hollered out, 63.8. And I looked at mine, and mine was just above 64 degrees, so I'm not that far off on my depth finder.
Nah, they're all in the vicinity.
Somewhere around 64, 65 degrees, but that's still chilly. Still very chilly for the shallow bays anyway. But and like I said, I went from spot to spot, and nada. And I covered a lot of water with that soft plastic too, buddy, and I couldn't get a bite. Caught those two little fish, and that was it. Besides a redfish, and I caught him too, and I was using a black worm with a chartreuse tail, old Norton Sandeel.
Yeah.
I've been catching them on just darker colors, the roach colors, and I don't know, any time of year, anything with a chartreuse tail, but it's real slow right now. Like I said, the fishermen that I am talking to, everybody's saying the same thing, just small fish.
Yeah.
So, all the big ones must be over there on your side of town, huh?
Yeah, there's somebody's freezer.
Y'all got them cornered up over
now,
there?
No, our fish are a little better this year than they were last year, but they're still small. I mean, they're keeper-sized fish, but
right.
The megalodon days aren't around yet. We're praying for that, hoping to get them back.
Well, it's
big girls.
Yeah, the big girls and the corky days and the slow sinkers and that stuff. Man, that water temperature got up to almost 70 degrees last week, and then here it is back in the mid-60s.
I can't believe how much it dropped with those couple of cool nights we had. It dropped pretty good.
Me neither. I couldn't believe it was 63, 64 degrees out there.
That groundhog needs to find him a new job. He ain't even close anymore.
He wouldn't. You're right. But no, we moved around and trolled around in different channels and drop offs and worked the ledges, and I just did everything. We were out to get out of the darn house and to get a halfway report for you this morning, just something to talk about.
Yeah.
And I did want some fish for dinner, but to no avail, I couldn't get. I let the trout go because I just feel sorry for them anymore. I don't know why. That seems like even that redfish. After I got him and got home and started cleaning him, I said, man, did you really have to keep this fish? I haven't had any redfish in a while, and boy, they sure, that 22 inches, sure a good size fish to eat.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have that baby tonight.
Well, so, next week,
anyway,
Tuesday, our new limits will be in effect for the whole coast.
Yep, then three fish, 15 to 20.
15 to
20. One over 30.
One over 30. Dirty 30. There's millions of them.
Man. Yeah. Golly. Oh, no. Man, I remember the first time I brought in a fish like that. And, of course, it's been 20 years ago or more. And in a 29-inch half over in this area. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That was a big fish. I'm looking at it on the wall, too. I didn't let that one get away. I had two 29-and-a-halves. Caught them within about a year apart of each other, had them both skin mounted, and they still look just like it did when it come out of the water that day. You know,
yeah, that's good, awesome.
What do you call the people that stuff them?
Taxidermist.
Taxidermist. That's the word I'm
We're not talking
for.
A turkey here, buddy. We're talking fish, man. Stuffing nothing.
That's right. That's right. But bait camps are holding bait. Captain Mickey, the shrimp, haven't really laid eyeballs on them because I've been throwing plastic. But as the phone starts ringing, the water starts heating up, we'll be going to live shrimp or some kind of live bait anyway. And that's only usually by request. The customers want to do something. They want to get some action.
Right.
And, hey, would you mind throwing some bait on the boat for us? And I'll do that, you know, and it takes the board, you know, when you're bored, you can at least get some action, but I'm not saying much for this time of year. I mean, it's just off. It's way off. I figured that water would be up above 70 right now, but I was so wrong. So wrong. Like you said, the groundhog had something to do with it. I know he did.
Yeah, he's off base.
Way off base. Hey, the sad news is, Captain Mickey, they still hadn't found that swimmer from last Saturday. I talked to some people around here yesterday. They have had Equus search, helicopters all over the weekend. I mean, all through the first of the week, there was tons of volunteers that were down here searching and went up and down the coast. And
Where did he go down?
In here, Surfside Beach.
Just right there on the beachfront.
And they're thinking the temperature of the water, the cold water, has kept him down and kept him from surfacing. So that's the only thing they're believing is has to do with them not finding him by now. I mean, that was last Saturday. And I talked to the ladies up in the little grocery store yesterday, and they said, nope, as of yesterday, they still hadn't found him. And that's very unusual. I mean, that's almost a week. It'll be a week Saturday.
Yeah, that's almost a week.
It's unbelievable, man.
That's terrible.
No closure for the family. I mean, shoot.
No, there's not. That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. And it is. And they can't speak English or anything. And that doesn't matter. You're a swimmer, you're a swimmer. But there's certain days you just don't go out there. I mean, day they were out there, it was rough. I mean,
yeah, rip currents and, you know, undertow and all that. It's just times you shouldn't be in the water like that.
Yeah, so that's right.
You know, really experienced swimmers can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. They got the red flag warnings out and the people.
You know, I grew up down there on that west end, you know, in the summers down there. And my mother wouldn't even think about letting us. She wouldn't let us go to the beach, you know, on those real rough days like that. We always had to hang out, you know, behind the house at the bay.
Yeah, let somebody know what you're doing or take an adult with you or have somebody sit up in the back of the truck and just keep an eye on you. You know, it's if you must go, you know, there's always better days. But anyway, that's the only sad news about the area.
That's a shame.
Or about down here. Hopefully they find a guy and It's just a shame. It happens, you know, once or twice a year down here. Usually it's San Luis Pass.
Yeah, that pass is taking a bunch of them.
But we're going to batten hatches down again, and we're wet enough. We've had enough. I think we got about an inch and a quarter out of that stuff day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And so we have puddles and water standing everywhere. Then our tides boiled up, so it's a mess down here. If the wind wasn't blowing, we'd have mosquitoes. We'd be griping about that. So it's one thing.
Those are coming after all this wetness. All right, buddy.
Coastal living at its best.
Well,
yes, sir.
Give them a number. Somebody wants to call you about coming down there and fishing with you.
Sure, and I got plenty of openings. 713-208-0683. Y'all have
a great
Hammer. Day, buddy. I'll talk
to you. Good talking to you. See you, buddy.
Yes,
all right, later. All right, that's the Hammer in the Tri-Bay area. Time for a break. You listen to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. Click to Houston had an update on that. Hammer must have, well, when he talked to whoever it was at the store, it, his body hadn't been found yet, but Henry Murillo was the young man that they found his body at Quintana yesterday, 17-year-old, so... Closure for the family, but sad times, bad deal. All right, let's go to Bob Green up on Fayette County. All right, Bob, what is up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're all up. I tell you what, there's some serious storm blew through here at midnight, 1 o'clock this morning.
It hit me about, I don't know, dog started going crazy about one, and that was the end of my deep sleep. I've been up since.
Yeah, this little Yorkie the same way.
Oh, man. And I don't know why my dog turned this way. I mean, it's never bothered her till here lately. And it just, man, one clap of thunder and it's over, man.
Uh-oh.
Nah,
yeah,
man.
This one runs so far up under the cover you couldn't see nothing of it until it quit, you know. That was it.
My dog's not allowed on the bed, and she's a big female lab, about 70 pounds. And when she jumps up there and presses against you and just pins you down, you can't get up.
Yeah.
Shaking and trembling and panting, and I'm going, my gosh, I can't believe this dog doesn't have a heart attack.
It's
crazy. Yeah,
it bothers some of them like that. How old is she?
13. Well, she'll be 13 in June. She's an old lab.
No, I mean, she got gray all around her muzzle, don't she?
Oh, yeah. She's not as pretty as she used to be. She's kind of looking like me.
Yeah, we still love them, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the family.
They are.
Actually,
they
sometimes I think they get better treatment sometimes.
But, well, they treat us better, too. They're not like them. Most family, they won't break your heart till they die.
Exactly. That's about right. Well, I sent you some pictures that kind of,
I saw
see that one,
there's some pretty
all that black on it.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, we haven't been catching, you know, big numbers like we should be doing, but we're catching a big fish about every trip. So
yeah, well, that's
or something. So I've got enough faith in it that I keep that net right up. I don't have to dig for it. I put it out first thing.
Yes.
And, too late to grab them sometimes when the fish start swimming out and you don't see it until it pops that head up out of there. And then you say, uh-oh, I got to get the net out of there.
Yeah, that one fish picture, I can't believe the yellow and gold on it, you know, on the fins and everything.
Yeah.
And it's lighter colored.
Well, that one was seven that the guy was holding.
Right.
And then I didn't even weigh the one that I was holding because I just wanted to show those spots on it.
Yeah, it's,
and it was
man,
covered
it's got a bunch of them.
I know. It was on both
sides.
Like
four
too.
Right on the tail, and then two above it, and then one by the backpack fin, and I mean, all up over his shoulders. Pretty awesome.
And you know, we're not catching a lot of those with that on them, which is really odd. And that big picture, that one picture I sent you, you saw how big the belly was, but it was showing no signs of dropping those eggs. And the other big ones, I haven't seen one fish in the last 3 weeks that looked like they were fanning a bed, or that hole there was gooey and like they were trying to dump anything. So I'm curious. Are we just been on a full moon now? Is it next week?
That'll be next week.
Yeah, I'm looking for something else to happen after that. You know, there's stories right now. Oh, the spawn's over. So that's if you want to believe that, then just go ahead and believe it. But
still a lot of fish that hadn't spawned out yet.
Oh, no.
They, I was talking to Randy Dearman yesterday at Rayburn. He said the same thing, you know, same thing's going on.
Well, this week hadn't been quite as bad as far as, you know, last week must have been the first spring break or something, because the lake was packed. Boat ramp was packed.
Right.
Yeah, everybody still had plenty of room to fish. But anyway, and when I say those fish, that big one in the picture came out of 14 feet of water. On a Carolina rig. I can't remember if it was a baby brush hog or a watermelon, shady watermelon candy. But it was one of those with the tail dipped in a little chartreuse, kind of give it a little action or a little flash, you know. And the other ones are coming from shallow water, but my shallow water bite the last 2 days just really didn't do well on a moving bait, and we're not hanging the shad like we normally do. You know, we hang, you know, at least five or six shad on a hook.
Right.
So I think we need a little change. And I mean, the water temperature is fine. It's 70, 72 degrees. Mm-hmm. Now this morning, I mean, there's a lot of rain. There was 2.5 inches of rain before that storm came through last night. So I'll look at the rain gauge. I'm thinking we may have got another inch, maybe even a little more.
Yeah, it came up downpour. A lot of wind and lightning in that, too.
Yeah, well, I heard the lightning, and I thought it was raining because of this little awning right outside the bedroom window. It sounded like somebody was crawling up on it. But those little twirly bird things you make out of tin cans and stuff, it blew two or three of them across the yard. So, it was moving pretty good. When they're spinning, they just roll over till they finally find a fence to hit against, and then you go pick them up, hang them up again. So don't hurt anything. Kind of like tumbleweeds in metal.
Right.
but the shallow fish, you know, we were. Another thing, these swim baits should be working better. We finally caught a couple of fish on swim baits, that little white storm swim bait, the other one. And that's the first ones I've caught on a swim bait in a while. Other than that, that would do wacky style or shaky heads and throwing in 2.5, 3, 4 foot of water. And that's where the other bigger fish have came from. So, you know, when we say, oh, well, where are you catching them? Well, 2 feet and 14 feet or 15 or even 16. It, you know, it's not a lie. That's just what's right. Happening. and usually rely on that deep. You're either going to find a few of the smaller, maybe some males, but I'm not really catching that many males.
Huh.
Nearly everything I've seen has had bellies on them. I mean, a few. Considering, I don't know. It's just kind of strange. I mean, it's good, but it's still strange what's going on. In water, I imagine that rain we had yesterday and last night will bring the lake up an inch or so, maybe two. It's really in good shape, though, as far as the water that's in there. It's only dropped about a foot, 16 inches, and that's it. So,
are you seeing any bad bedding bass at all?
Well, no. Well, the water's so stained, it's hard to hard to see anything unless you get right on top. And, and the needle-nose gar are messing around in the shallows out there and the deeps. They're just kind of, you know, they're not ganged up together. You'll see one. You know, later on, you know, it starts getting warmer, you'll see four or five of them stuck together. So I guess that's their spawning deal. I don't know.
Right.
Don't know much about them. So, and then we caught a tilapia. One of the guys caught a tilapia the other day on a worm. That's kind of strange because normally you'll snag those. Even this time of year, you'll snag them because they're up in the shallows too. But trying to see a bedding fish, it's a couple of spots where maybe the bottom's a little different to where you can actually see the bed, and a lot of times you can see one dart off of it. But trying to see them in the bed is tough. So, no, it's not a really good lake to you know, see them on the bed. So, of course, you don't know if there's a tilapia or a bass on it. More tilapia than bass right now, it seems like to me. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know. But we've been throwing traps. It seemed like they got off of the other bait. The little lip when I done got a brain. You know what?
What, just a shallow runner square bill or what?
Yeah, like a little square bill, in some kind of a little shad pattern.
Yeah.
And then the other bait I always said I didn't like until I loved it last year and the year before.
Chatterbait.
There we go. Glad you remembered. Shoot. There's about three different baits we're throwing first thing in the morning. We start out with trout, and then that one, then the shaky head, and last week and 2 weeks ago, those fish were busting in the bushes and the brush and stuff like that. I guess it was day before yesterday. We didn't see anything chase bait in that grass. And that boy, when I didn't see any of that, I'm thinking, oh crud, we're gonna have to think hard about this morning. But hey, it is what it is. So we just go with it day to day.
Yeah, I like seeing those little needle gar you're talking about shallow here when we're spring fishing like this, and you'll see them scampering on top with a shad in their mouth. Boy, them big trout. We've caught a lot of big trout around them little needle gar like that. But you don't eat those trout after they've been feeding on needle gar. Boy, they taste terrible.
Oh, really?
You know how them needle gar stink anyway, and they get to feeding on them certain times of year. It's kind of like a Jersey cow being in the bitter weeds.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't drink the milk.
Exactly.
You can smell it when you milk them. You see. Yeah, say.
And you can smell that stuff when you're cleaning them trout, you know, from that needle gar smell. It's terrible.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It says a lot about the old saying, you are what you eat.
Yeah, we went to had drive into Katy yesterday and back, and there was a field out there just covered in that stuff. And first thing wife said, yep, them milk cows better not eat that.
In that pasture.
I didn't see any. Matter of fact, didn't see any cows in that pasture. It's just wasted acreage, I guess.
Well, they probably got ankle markers on them now. They're tracking them. You saw that in that pork bill, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
500 grand or a million or whatever for ankle monitors on cows.
I tell you.
Yeah. Well, they call it pork, man.
Yeah, this stuff is getting so ridiculous.
Oh, it's pitiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're paying for it.
Yeah, we're going to keep paying for it, looks like. Yeah. We'll see what happens. That kind of shuts down the conversation, don't it?
Wander off.
Yeah. We'll wander back to the. How about that fishing?
Come back to reality.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'd like to see a little more action on the banks for one thing, because trying to get on some of these depots out there, you got to get a, grab one of the tickets.
Usually
like
by now, you know, your leg hadn't dropped that much. Usually by now, they ought to be tight up there.
Yeah, and the water's good.
Especially right there by those flats, you know.
Yep. Yeah, they should follow the trails, you know.
Sure.
That's what they should be doing. And I'm not even seeing that many boats that are sitting on those flats that's doing anything.
Yeah, they're not catching them or they'd be in there.
And the people I talk to, I trust some of these people. They're regulars on the lake and live around here and stuff like that. And if they tell me, hey, you know, what's wrong with them today? And then I take it to heart. But anyway, it's still been good because there's been some good, big, solid fish caught.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'd rather catch a few big ones than a bunch of little ones.
I agree on that big time. So I've already got the boat, the ice, the water ice down and unhooked from the batteries, and it's ready to go this morning.
Well,
I just got to get ready now.
Yeah, you're going to have a clear day, you know, and it's not going to be bad weather. On the coast, they're calling, they keep saying northwest 10 to 20, so it might be less up your way, so.
Well, and that's another thing. If you look at the overall forecast, it says 10 to 15.
Right.
If you look at the hourly report, it's starting west at about 3, and it doesn't get till around 6 or 7 till noon.
Yeah.
So let's hope that's right.
Well, that was a rip snorter come through in the middle of the night. I know that. A lot of electricity.
I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Of course, now it's probably over in New Orleans somewhere.
Yeah,
they're probably still got Mardi Gras going on.
Yeah, it got through me in less than an hour. You know, it just come on through. It was gone.
Yeah.
Heading east.
Well, but it lingered all day yesterday. It rained and coming back from, you know, there was a lot of ponding on the roadways on 290 and like that. You had to be pretty careful with it. And then you had that old road film and mist blowing up behind, couldn't see the car in front of you hardly. So
yeah,
made it back safe, ready to go.
All right, buddy. Well, I
wish
you
the
best of luck today. Well, good deal. Keep catching them good ones, man. Send them pictures.
Gonna,
I like them.
We're going to try to keep on doing that. Anyway, they can holler at us at 281-460-9200 or FayetteCountyBassFishing.com. Y'all have a good weekend coming up.
All right, Bob, you do the same. Good talking to you, man. Catch you up, buddy.
You too.
See you.
Later.
All right. All right, that's Bob Green up on Fayette County. And I need to take a moment to talk about the Belleville Meat Market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. They're easy to find. Look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And if you're looking for great smoked sausage, try out their samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their pulled pork, homemade hot dogs, and their ground beef special, $3.59 a pound in 10-pound bulk. And you can actually order a quarter calf or a half calf, and that's available for pre-order, and they custom process it for you. Their wild game processing, they do that year-round. They're still making their Vinny dogs and hog dogs. That's homemade hot dogs using your own venison or wild pigs. You can bring something home from your hunt. The entire family can enjoy all year long. And the Belleville Meat Market's celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
I wanted to let him know that he was more than a friend.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 440 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Matagorda now. Let's check in with Captain Tommy Alexander. Tommy boy, what's up?
What's up, Mickey?
Not a lot, man. We are.
No rain. No. Yeah, we're up.
As Jake says, I tell him that in the mornings when he comes in, I go, what's up, Jake? He said, we are.
We are. Yep. Yeah, we are. I guess the storms are gone.
They're gone.
It looked like late last night there was a bunch of them rolling up through Conroe, maybe. Like they were still rolling up there north a little bit.
Right. Yeah, we had some weather yesterday, and that one last night, you know, that front line, final end of it, had a little hook in it coming through me, and it was rock and roll for about an hour.
I mean, is that what it was, a front? Because it's not really cold or anything. I mean,
no,
it's just
it'll be a wind switch. We're going to have northwest winds today.
And it goes right back pretty quick because I'm seeing Sunday hard southeast.
Really?
Yeah, mine's showing hard southeast on Sunday. Everywhere I look for Conroe, Fayette, and Matagorda, it was blowing pretty hard Sunday.
Right.
Out of the south. Or southeast, maybe. One of the two. I don't know. Well, I'm headed to Fayette this morning.
Well, I headed just to talked Fayette. To Bob.
Go,
he's
go visit
some
Bob.
Nice fish, man.
Yeah, I talked to him last night on the phone.
Did you?
Yeah, we talked for a little while last night on the phone.
Right.
Headed up there. Yeah, it's been pretty good, sounds like.
Yeah.
I've been Conroe and Matagorda. I hadn't actually been to Fayette in a couple weeks, so. But, I talked to him last night. It's been pretty good. I talked to another guy that fished up there, too, a few days ago and did pretty well. Sounds like it's doing pretty good.
Yeah, quality fish.
We'll go check it out. I fished one day. Well, I didn't fish yesterday, of course, anywhere.
No.
And then
smart man.
Yeah. And then I fished Wednesday saltwater Matagorda, but man, I did not do good on Wednesday. I never did end up talking to Charlie. He waited. I don't know if he caught him or what.
I think he said he had two trout and two flounder. The struggle bus was real.
It was real, I'm telling you.
It was tough, he said. They would not bite.
No, they wouldn't. I was drifting, I was not waiting, but I had a good fisherman with me, a guy y'all all probably, I know he's went with Plog and all y'all, but his name is Marv. I call him
Marv.
Yeah,
Marv Coon.
Yeah, huh?
Marvin That's Coon, who I took. Great guy, yeah. Good fisherman too.
Yeah, I took him Wednesday, and like you said, like Charlie said, the struggle bus was real. We fished so many, we hit a lot of good spots. It was weird because, you know, we thought it was going to be a south wind and sunny, and we got there and it was solid overcast and blowing northeast. And it blew east, northeast all day that day. And yeah, I never saw the sun as long as we were out there, but man, the struggle bus was real. I mean, we'd hit some spots and you wouldn't even get a bite at all, like not even a thump, nothing. Move over, and then you might catch something. Heck, I caught a hardhead. I was kind of happy to catch. It almost got me excited to catch a hardhead. So bad a day it was.
Man.
On a lure, you catch a hardhead, and then you're like, wow. But anyway, the struggle bus was real on Wednesday.
Hardheads are back.
Yeah, they're back. Yeah, like I said, I caught one on what did I catch that hardhead on?
Corky,
maybe
Corky will grab a hard head.
It was some sort of regular tail.
Yeah,
it might have been I don't know what it was. It was a regular tail though. It wasn't even a gulp. It was just a tail.
Right.
But anyway, it was tough day Wednesday. You know, and I talked to some other guys that had caught some fish, not Wednesday necessarily, but I think maybe Tuesday some people did catch a few, but. I don't know. It was a tough week for me in Matagorda. Just wasn't too great.
It happens.
But, yeah, it should do nothing but get better. You know, get some of these weird little wind things.
You know, we had that, pretty significant water temperature drop, you know, with that last front.
Yeah.
You know, we had those two cool nights, and it dropped that water quite a bit. And I don't know if that had something to do with it or not, you know.
Because I went on, I don't remember what day. I get my days all mixed up, but like a Sunday or something, Monday, and I was reading like 72, 73 degree water temp. And then when me and Marv went Wednesday, it was 61. It had dropped 10 or 11 degrees in a couple days. So that could have been one of the reasons Wednesday wasn't too good either. I don't
know. Real possible.
Something was wrong
because we couldn't get them. And like you said, up, you know, and they'd been stable for quite a while and the fish were acclimated to it. And then you get that drop like that.
Right.
Here we go again.
And I mean, Marv's a good fisherman, so we should have, you know, if they were there to be got, we should have got them. But we just couldn't find them. We couldn't get it going. If you caught one at a spot, you did really good.
Well,
so anyway, I'm gonna head to Fayette today, and then I've got some back and forth stuff too. I'm gonna head to Fayette today, and then got Matagorda tomorrow, and then back to Fayette on Sunday.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Road warrior.
Yeah. And then my bass trip starts slowing down a little bit. I think next week I got four saltwater trips next week. And
yeah.
Start getting more about 4 a week saltwater. I still got a few bass tournaments left, but it's starting to get a little more saltwater.
Booking. From your house down there, how long does it take you to get to Fayette?
From my house to Fayette, about 1 hour and 40.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. I can do it it's under 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually about 1 hour and 40. And I always stop at a store. And, you know, it's about 1 hour and 40. That's with a stop.
Yeah. Not bad.
If you didn't stop at all, yeah, you could do 1.5 hours. But it's all back roads. It's nothing bad. I don't have to drive through Houston or anything like that. It's just
all. That's a plus, you know, right there, pulling a boat through Houston. Good Lord.
Yeah, that's what gets me for going to Conroe, is going through Houston. That's the worst part about going to Conroe. There's no way around it for me, really, without going so far around. You know, it'd take you forever. But I have learned if you go through Houston at, you know, 5 a.m, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you can beat that rush.
Yeah, you go through there about 4:35 in the morning, and you can pretty well never slow down.
Man.
But, yeah, that's it. That's the worst part about, for me, from coming from where I am to go to Conroe, is the driving through Houston part. Fayette, I don't have any of that. It's just all back roads. It's not bad at all. So we'll see the next 3 days. Got a little fishing, and then I think I'm off Monday, Tuesday, maybe, and then I'll fish Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week in Matagorda.
Well, next week looks better. I think, what do we got another front on? Let me look at it here again. I already forgot. My mind's kind of scrambled.
I was hoping this might be the last one.
Groundhog got us again. Yeah, you got another front on Tuesday. We go from south at 30 on Monday to north at 15 on Tuesday, north at 15 Wednesday, and then back to southeast at 10 on Thursday. And then Friday, south at 25.
Man.
Yeah, it's I never have liked this time of year too much.
Man, I mean,
It's that wind, roller coaster, man. North at 30 one day, south at 30 the next. Just, you know, it's hard to get a pattern on fish, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to fish that when you're 20, 30 south, and the next day turns around honking out of the north. And then when that water temp goes up and down by 10 degrees every week, that's tough too.
It affects things.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. They don't know. I mean, you get them mixed all up. You get some fish doing one thing and some fish doing the other thing, and it gets them all twisted up. You know, spreads them out, I guess. Seems like it does that for the bass.
We start out our new limits again.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was next Tuesday, yeah, because I had a trip on Wednesday, and the guy was asking me about it. I said, yep, it was the day before you come.
Yeah.
Yep. I haven't really heard a lot of people talking about it lately. You know, announced the date, I just kind of been quiet.
Well, all the ones that sat on the bench during the scoping meetings, now they're all whining and complaining about it, saying that, you know, they're pointing the finger, blaming CCA and TPNW and other fishing guides. I mean, it just, it's pointless. Just wasting oxygen talking about it. They had their chance. You know, it was like, you know, those COVID meetings were publicized big time by every source there is around here for, you know, a month ahead of time. And if you wanted to make your voice heard, you should have been there. You know, that's what they were there for. That's what they had them for, is to determine what the people wanted.
Well, I've got a good friend of mine that I grew up with that works for CCA, and he said that they did have like a little vote in that, but it wasn't even like they didn't have a big say in that like everybody thinks they did.
I mean, it was.
He said they didn't even have a big vote in it. Like they weren't even a big part. He said they had they were asked and they had a little what their opinion is, but he said they didn't really have a big say in that like people think they did.
No, it was public input. JQ Public.
That and the numbers, I think they were gonna
plus all their data that they work off of and manage our fishery with. And it just, to me, I mean, I care, but it doesn't really matter to me because, you know, I don't keep any fish anymore anyway. I don't, I'm just not into it, you know, just piling up dead fish anymore.
Well, like I said, I don't really know
the same way.
I honestly don't know the truth anyway. I don't know the right answer or the truth. But I do know my buddy said that they didn't have as big a vote in it as people thought they did.
I know. So that's just another group for somebody to whip on. I mean, it just, we need to police ourselves and not let everybody have to do it for us. You know, everybody knows. And I mean, if you've been around just in the last 10 years, you know that the fishery's not near what it, you know, up to its potential and what it used to be. I mean, that's a fact. And anybody that believes different is in denial. But, you know, it's a lot of guys that go to the same place every time. They got fish located somewhere, and they think it's that way all over the bay, but it's not. You got just these pods of fish in certain areas that have been there for, I mean, look at your bay, East Bay, for instance. I mean, that West End's been y'all's savior for a long time now. I mean, that's where you have to go every time to catch fish consistently. And I know when that bay was right, it was like that from one end to the other.
Yeah, no, it definitely, if you could go back, you go back 15 years ago, and it was definitely better, for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
But it just is what it is. I'll deal with whatever they do.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever it is, you know, we'll just go. We'll just do it. I'm just gonna do it. Just gonna roll with it. Did they say anything about like how long they're gonna do that, or is it just till further notice? Or?
No, it's probably till further notice till we, you know, get our fishery back, get it back to the, you know, the standards we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I didn't know if they ever did put some sort of end date or anything like that.
Everybody says, well, they never give it back, but hey, they just had this done from your bay system all the way down the coast. They had that 3 fish limit, and they gave everybody back their 5. They went back to 5 again, and they will. It's just the numbers don't support it.
Yeah. I'll just leave it up to them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to leave it up to them and deal with whatever happens. See what goes on.
Well, it's just part of, you know, just like game management or anything else. The numbers support liberal limits, you go with it. And if you don't, you have to do something to get some kind of sustainability to the resource.
Yeah.
But we can talk till we're blue in the face on this topic, and, you know, just not everybody's going to agree with it. That's just the way.
No, you're never going to find everybody. Yeah, no matter what.
There's
not everybody's going to agree on it, for sure. That's one thing for sure. Not going to happen. I'll just go catch some bass today.
Sure.
Won't worry
I never
about
thought
it.
I'd live to see the bass limits more liberal than trout limits, though, in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Did you ever think
no.
that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I really didn't figure that. I figured trout would always be more than bass.
Right.
Why does the bass have, why is Conroe, does anybody ever really, Richard probably knows, but why do they got it? Why are they like one of the only lakes that are 16 inches? What was their deal with that? Why
I don't know.
There?
I don't know.
I've wondered
that. The rest
that.
Of the state's what, 14?
14, yeah. Every other lake we fish is 14. I mean, Fayette and Lake Fork are slot lakes, but that's different. That's, you know, a slot lake. But
yeah, and look what it did for those lakes.
All the lakes we fish tournaments in, it's all 14 except Conroe.
Yeah, look what those slots did for those two lakes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, but I'm hoping that slot will do the same for our coastal fisheries.
I never did know why that stays 16 like that on Conroe.
I didn't either. I'll ask Richard tomorrow when I talk to him.
Yeah, just curious. You know, because I don't know that.
Right.
I mean, I guess it worked, I guess. I mean, Conroe does have big fish in it, but so does Toledo and Rayburn and all the ones with 14. They all got big ones, too. So, I don't know.
Oh, well. All right. Well,
just
Tommy,
curious.
Somebody wants to call you about bass fishing or trout fishing. How they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, they can look me up on Facebook under Tommy Alexander, but the best way is on my phone. They can shoot me a text, or if I don't answer, leave a message. I'll call you back at 979-709-8242.
All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, you have a good one. Good luck to you today.
See yeah, I'm headed up there. So,
all right. Go get them later. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.